About a year ago, Men Phung was appointed as the Race Relations Commissioner after 24 years at the Gisborne District Council. Mr. Phung was elected as a councillor in 1995, and in 2001, he was elected mayor, a role he held for 18 years. He is one of a handful of people of Chinese descent to have become a mayor in New Zealand. He is fluent in English, Cantonese, and Te Reo Māori. He is also on the line to us from Gisborne. Kia ora, Meng, and thank you so much for taking time out to have a chat with us.
Kia ora iti and talo falapa to all our PI listeners. Kia ora ana, Nisan Bulavanaka, Maruru, Malolalei. Kia ora, what a great day.
It is a great day for us to have you on the air. Meng, let's go back to the beginning. You are one of the few people, non-Māori people I know of, who is fluent in Māori. What was it about growing up in Gisborne that got you interested in Māori, not only tikanga, but te reo?
Yeah, no, I think we weren't employed in the shop, but we had to work in the shop, me and my brother. And we both had the opportunity. Our customers spoke Māori to us. Our Māori customers spoke Māori to us. And I had the genetics. I had the desire to learn. My brother didn't learn. So, you know, everyone to their own. We all have our own different vices. And so Te Reo Māori or Te Reo or Te Tairawhiti was what I took on. And, mate, it's been a great journey. And, you know, it's not only the language, it's the culture, the tikanga, the kawanga, going to funerals, speaking at funerals, weddings, openings on marae, celebrating with our people. It's awesome, and just been so honoured to be part of their lives.
Well, you've obviously been more than accepted by the tangata whenua there, because you've been mayor for 18 years, but also growing up and learning Cantonese. Was Cantonese spoken at home? Did that give you an appreciation of the importance of language as identity for each people?
Yeah, well, the interesting thing is that my mother spoke Cantonese and my father spoke Siyip, and we didn't know that language was important because that was the only language that was actually spoken at home. I didn't even speak English till I started going to school, and then one day it wasn't until I was about 8 that I was realized that I was Chinese, because these kids had this joke, you know, Ching Chong Chinaman, as they do those days. And I said this joke back to my father, and he said, "Oh, you be careful, don't you cheeky yourself." He said, "You're Chinese." And I said, "Oh, okay, we're Chinese. Okay, we got that." So interesting beginnings. But being the oldest in the family, yeah, definitely. English was not part of the repertoire at home, but however, when we started working in the shop at 7, we started learning more, and so we knew what cabbages and collies and hello, thank you, what would you like, how can I help you, all those sort of languages that one would use in the shop.
So going to school, not realizing you were Chinese, did a lot of people assume you were Māori because you were not Pākehā?
No. I'm not quite sure whether the kids knew we were Chinese or not, because there was actually quite a lot of Chinese kids at our school at Makaraka. We had a lot of market gardens that surrounded the Makaraka school, from Matawhero and Makaraka. And there would be at least a dozen Chinese families that were at the school. There were even five Chinese boys in the Makaraka rugby team when I had looked back on one of our photos one year, and I said, wow, that must be the most Chinese people ever in any rugby team in the whole world. Maybe we could have made the Chinese team. And so, and the interesting thing is that we, you know, when we were kids, we just all played together, it was a great fun at school.
At what point did you decide to become a counsellor, and what was it that drove you to run for local politics?
Well, we bought a shopping centre in 1988 called the Kaere Moor, and we built a community police station on there. And I used to talk to the detectives, Hemi Hikawai, who was on the council at that time. And one day he popped a question during a cup of tea, and he said, "Hey, would you like to be a councillor? You'll make a good councillor, Ming." And I said, "I wouldn't have a clue what that means, Hemi." And he said, "You know, we lunch is good." And I said, "Oh yeah, that sounds good." But you know, they had a plan. They had one of the retiring councillors, Councillor Pinching. He mentored me during the whole process of being elected, and we had a strategy and all that sort of stuff. And so I did have doubt in my mind whether the community would actually elect a Chinese person to represent them, and from that day onwards I topped the polls, and I never looked back. And I said, look, this is not about being Chinese or any other ethnicity. It's actually about what you're going to do, what you're saying, and your proven background. And so our background was business. We're good with money, we loved our families, we worked hard, and I spoke Māori.
Yes, tell us about that journey in Te Reo, because obviously, as you were saying earlier, you were learning basic Māori in the shop, how much, I can, you know, but then to dig even deeper than that, how did you learn Te Reo Māori to the level that you have learned it now?
Oh, look, learning any language, more particularly men, they are given the opportunity to use it more often than women. You know, we're always on the marae. The men are given the opportunity for public speaking, whai kōrero. They also have the opportunity to lead karakia. And so I had the opportunity to do that. And also going to different places, I improve my vocabulary. So if we're talking about council stuff, I would learn a few more words about the council and sort of added it to the sentences, sentence structures that I already had known. But it's been a gradual journey right through. I topped Māori at high school when I was there. I knew that it was really sad for me. I thought, boy, you know, Chinese kids, we learn Chinese at home, the language of Chinese at home. However, when I spoke to my Māori friends, I said, "Hey, teach us how to speak Māori." And they said, "Oh, no. We might get the strap." And I said, "Oh, that's unusual." I said, "We don't get the strap for speaking Chinese at home." But anyway, it's use it or lose it, Ete. Use it or lose it. And I've had the opportunity to use it many times and improve my vocabulary. I've had great mentors, great rangatira and kuia that actually helped me right throughout my journey. I was the leader of the kapa haka at high school. And so it's just blossomed from there.
It's been a year now since your appointment as Race Relations Commissioner was announced. What was it that made you... Sorry, are you correcting me there?
No, you're right.
What was it about the role that attracted you? 18 years as mayor of Gisborne, most people would find that very difficult to walk away from, but you decided to take on this role. What was the challenge for you?
Well, first I decided that, you know, I've served 24 years on the Gisborne District Council, and I thought that was a good innings. Then I bought a campground, Tatapodi, and I said, well, look, this is what I'm going to do, and I'd look after that. Then I saw this advertisement, and I don't know where I saw it. It might have been on the internet, actually. And I applied. I failed. And then there was some commotion about processes with some of the applicants taking the Minister of Justice to court, High Court, and there were some injunctions. And after about 6 or 7 months, they actually said, rang up, the State Services Commission rang up and said, look, we're going to re-advertise this job, and everybody that's applied, we're just letting them know. And I said, right. I had one of those Tui moments, yeah, right, whether it was going to work out right or not. And then I said, right, I'm going to go onto YouTube, and I'm going to type in best CVs in the world. Man, you know, YouTube is the best tutorials you can get for free. One important thing, Etty, is that I did the CV myself. You know, other people said, no, you're going to get a professional. But I've had that mentor before in terms of professionals doing stuff. You can't beat it by doing things yourself and writing it in your own language. So I applied. I was in the finalists for the interviews, and they chose me. So I'm really pleased. So thank you to the interviewers, and thank you to all the people that supported me.
Well, I'll tell you, when I heard your appointment, I couldn't have thought of a better person for the role. We are coming up to the elections, and unfortunately, we are quickly running out of time here. It is a time when people start pulling out the race card and using race as an issue, and that must make your job harder when you see people using race in their campaigns.
Well, Etty, I've been proactive. I like to be positive and proactive in my role. So I've written to all of the political leaders and even the ones that are not in Parliament at the present time. I sent them a letter and I said, look, continue to be kind, focus on the policies, the issues of the day, and not the people. Like they say in rugby, play the ball, not the person.
Yes, 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 absolutely.
So play the ball. And so hopefully they will heed to that. So that went out yesterday.
Wonderful. And of course, with the Black Lives Matter movement happening at the moment, there seems to be a groundswell in the world for the rights of minorities. And it's probably not the best time to come out with statements that put down people because of their race.
Well, some people haven't learned, have they? Because, you know, we've had MPs being dismissed, taken off the list, resigned for those reasons, being racist. I think the world is more aware. Unfortunately, you know, our condolences go to Mr. Floyd's family, George Floyd's family. But Helga, it's really unfortunate they had to take that, because our people have suffered before. You know, we've had the Dawn Raids, we've had the land wars. We've had marches of people, you know, wanting to instill the Māori language back into society. We've had tūhoe raids, police raids, all sorts of things that have happened to our people. So, you know, the buck stops up at the top. Structural racism is one of the worst types of racism around. So we must ensure and call the government to account to ensure that they are fair to all New Zealanders. No one wants any extra. Everybody just wants fairness. And at the present time, you know, I've got my Equal Opportunities Commissioner, Kalanina. She's fighting for people to have pay equity, because Pacific Māori and Chinese, we're paid less than our Pākehā colleagues.
What a wonderful note to end on. Race Relations Commissioner Meng Foon, thank you for your time, thank you for your heart, and thank you for the work you continue to do for the betterment of our society.
Yo, no, kia ora, Eti, and thank you for coming to Gisborne those days too. We love you. our people are still looking forward to you filling out our War Memorial Theatre. With our friend, so welcome back anytime.
Thank you so much.